This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Vancouver psychotherapist Michael Pond says that at least once a week, a client asks him, "If I get therapy, can I get off this medication?" Michael's typical response has been to say that psychotherapy will help, but that some types of psychotropic medication will be required for an indefinite time. But after reading Boston Globe journalist Robert Whittaker's book, An Atomy of an Epidemic, Michael has begun to rethink the effectiveness of the carte blanche pharmaceutical treatment. Form of mental disorder.
I spoke with Michael Pond earlier this week, and he reminded me to mention, first of all, that it's dangerous to stop taking prescribed medications without first consulting a physician and following medical advice. Here's that interview with Michael Pond.
What are psychotropic medications? What are they intended to do?
Psychotropic, that word comes from two Greek words, which is psyche and trope, which is psyche is the mind or the soul. And trope is to turn. So it's basically you're turning the mind or changing the mind. So it's a very general term for any substance, chemical substance, drug, that will alter the mind. And, you know, from this context that we're talking about today, it's more around, you know, it's psychiatric medication. These are psychoactive drugs or medications that are prescribed to manage mental and emotional disorders. And that's what we're going to be talking about after reading Robert Whittaker's book and some subsequent follow-up pieces and articles of it, some critiques and some that are more pro. I've been quite fascinated with this since hearing his radio interview with CBC and reading some of the literature and his book.
There have been growing concerns about the uses and potential problems associated with psychoactive or psychotropic medications. You mentioned Robert Whittaker, and he's influenced your thinking. Tell us about some of the concerns or the controversies that are emerging.
Reading his book and hearing his interview, more than anything, I think it already affirms some beliefs and thoughts and opinions that I already had. I've been in this field now for 40 years, coming up 61, and I've worked in the major mental hospitals in the early years, in the 70s and 80s, and prisons and psych wards and adolescent psych units and everything in between, and being in private practice. So I've seen these drugs, these medications used for a long time. And back in the old days when we were, you know, using chlorpromazine, just the liquid chlorpromazine, like Lagactyl, by the gallons. And I would see the side effects as a young man. I'm going, holy cow, this stuff is pretty, you know, the side effects. And so there's always, you know what I mean, there's always been this concern or worry. And especially when I was working with youth, seeing a lot of these young people, 12, 13, 14 years of age, being given you know, these phenothiazines and major, they used to be called major tranquilizers, and seeing the side effects. And now, you know, in the last 20 years with the new generation antipsychotics and the side effects from them and how they affect the, you know, metabolism, the unbelievable weight gain. And so, Kevin, I've been concerned for many years about this. And now after reading Robert Whittaker's book and listening to him speak, it's just affirming a lot of things, a lot of beliefs and feelings that I've had for many years.
You wrote in a recent column for the Vancouver Sun that at least once a week a client asks you, quote, "If I get therapy, can I get off this medication?" How do you answer that question?
Typically, historically, I would answer it, and probably how most of us do that are in this field doing clinical work, is, well, you know, you have a chemical imbalance in your brain and you've been formally diagnosed with this disorder, and you need your medication. And And so we need to consult with your doctor, and psychotherapy will help, counseling will help, a lot of things will help, but you do need to stay on this medication and be monitored. And if you've been diagnosed with a major mental disorder, a psychotic disorder like schizophrenia, we've been told and come to believe that you're on this for the rest of your life. And working for years in the psychiatric facilities, this is what we were taught, and this is what we believed, and this is how the treatment plans were designed and implemented and maintained. But we've always had to deal with this revolving door syndrome, which is, you know, the individual comes in acutely mentally ill with a psychosis or a major depressive episode or a psychotic break. Bring them in, we assess them, we stabilize them, transfer them to a longer stay unit, and then get them ready for discharge and do a discharge plan, and off they go into the community in whatever placement that they go to. You know, inevitably it would seem within 2-3 months they're back again. We do it all over again. And you can talk to anybody that works in this field, in the hospitals and in psychiatry. This is typically what happens. And so, is it working? I don't think so. I don't think it's been working. And now with Robert Whitaker, he talks about the Open Dialogue Program in Finland and this, the studies that have been done there, and some other programs that have imitated their approach and their model. And it's based on, you know, catch it, the early intervention. So this is the first break, or what we used to call a first break, or the first episode of psychosis. And so you're catching this thing early, it's early intervention, and we're going to give you a very community-based, supportive, therapeutic environment without medication. And the studies have shown that they have very successful outcomes. And, you know, the 80%, after 5 years, 80% are coming out of these programs functional and able to work it again, able to go back to school or, you know, go back and have what we call a normal functioning life. And to me, that's amazing. That's remarkable, because I come from that psychiatric medical model mindset that you need to be on this medication. And it seems like the studies are showing that through Whitaker's work and others, that the longer you're on the medication, you know, so if you are maintained on some of these psychotropic medications for many years, the more difficult it is to get off them, and that the disorder will become chronic. And there's this inevitable kind of rebound effect that happens. And, you know, I've heard many people say that they'll go off the medication and they just drop into this severe depression and, you know, be actively suicidal. And so what the theory is that the brain has built up a tolerance. And really, it's analogous to somebody that's an addict. The longer you're taking this drug, the more your body builds up tolerance, and when you go off the drug, your mind and your body go into a withdrawal. So you can actually slip into a more severe depression or a more acute severe psychosis. So you basically become addicted to the medication that's supposed to be treating the disorder.
A very recent Harvard University study found that media coverage of a warning in 2003, and I'm sure there have been other warnings over time, about antidepressants leading to rather than preventing suicidal thoughts, led to a steep decline in antidepressant use. So the researchers say that the well-intentioned warning was actually exaggerated, and it unnecessarily scared people, and people then, presumably, who needed the medication didn't take it or weren't prescribed that medication. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Big Pharma stepped in. The huge pharmaceutical companies and corporations that make billions off this. You know, they went right at that, of course, and started funding other studies that would refute that. But I don't agree. I think that I've seen it happen many times, and I've seen many of my clients and patients over the years go through an array of different antidepressants, you know, and then it's always, well, this isn't just quite the right one for your brain chemistry, so we're going to wean you off this one and try on this one. And they're all selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, the new generation antidepressants, and they all do the same thing in terms of brain chemistry change, acting on the neurotransmitters. And you know, I inevitably see people slip into these deep depressions after. And I know of people that have become active suicidal, and I know of people that have actually committed suicide. And I believe there needs to be a lot more research, and not funded by the pharmaceutical companies, funded publicly. And we might be getting some different results. In fact, I know that we are already, because I've reviewed a lot of that literature.
Mike, is there anything else you'd like to add to this conversation today?
Well, I think more from a personal perspective, Kevin, because, you know, I'm a recovered alcoholic, 5 years sober. I've, through that process of recovery and attempted recovery and dealing with the system, I was put on antidepressants. I was put on an antipsychotic. Because I slipped into a deep depression because of what had happened in my life. And for the first time in my life, after being in this business, this industry for, you know, 35, 40 years, I was a patient, and I experienced what it's like to be on these medications and the side effects. And you know, I now know why people consistently say, oh, I want to get off these medications. I don't like how they make me feel. They make me feel like a zombie. I feel like I'm not spontaneous and creative. And so there's this dilemma, right? You're damned if you do and damned if you don't, because they do suppress or deal with the symptoms, but they also suppress, you know, some good thought processing and creative thinking. My own brother, a year younger than myself, he's been diagnosed for years with concurrent disorders, addictions, alcoholism, and drugs, bipolar disorder, and he's been on an array of medications for many, many years. And he's been actively suicidal over the years, and he has a terrible time functioning in society and in the community. And I've watched what has happened to him. And I believe that if he would have been had early intervention when he was probably a young man and gone and seen a professional that and had some really good evidence-based psychotherapy and dealt a lot with a lot of the psychological underlying issues, you know, he may not, I don't know for sure, but he may not never have had to even start these medications. But I believe now, after being on them for, you know, coming up 35, 40 years, that he is dependent on his psychotropic medication. And it's sad. And I think that we really need to revisit this whole system from the bottom up. And look at the programs like Open Dialogue, and what are they doing? Well, they're working with individuals in the community, you know, early intervention, catching them, you know, when they're first diagnosed with a disorder, and just putting in you know, intensive, compassionate, kind, therapeutic approaches, you know, in a community reinforcement environment, and they're having dramatic results from that. And I think we need to really, really look at these programs and yes, have them researched, but let's try it. Sounds awesome to me.
Mike Pond, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Kevin. It was my pleasure.
Michael Pond is a Vancouver psychotherapist. You can find him online at michaelpond.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.